Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Welcome to you on this Wednesday. I'm so glad you're with me, and I hope you've been with me all week as Derek Prince has been teaching us about why bad things happen to God's people. Now, just in case you haven't been with us, let me just summarize, because this is such a vital teaching for our age and our generation. Derek began in this very balanced way by saying, sometimes our suffering is a mystery, but then sometimes it's also a result of bad things that we do, by behaviors. And he particularly nailed us on the whole issue of the sin of independence, bringing that out of Genesis 3. And he began to talk about the solution to that, began to talk about how we can begin a greater reliance on God, greater dependence upon Him. He talked about waiting, and he talked about serving, and he used Abraham and Moses as examples. It was extremely powerful. Again, if you've missed any of this, you can get it on the website, derekprince.org. And then Derek now is turning his attention to the issue of the book of Job. Oh boy, this is one of those books that we just sometimes don't know what to do with in our Christian circles. We don't know whether we're supposed to be edified or terrified or what the deal is. But just wait till Derek, in that almost surgical approach that he has, breaks out the book of Job for us. He really is going to help us understand some things perhaps we've never seen before about this whole issue of suffering, the mystery of suffering, our heart attitudes and suffering. Listen, you're going to want to get something to take some notes with. You're going to want to get your Bible and call some friends together, because this really has the power to set us free. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about why difficult things happen to God's people.
Most of you know, some of you don't, that we're going to be dealing with the book of Job. Now, when I saw the parking lot and it was not so full, I said, tonight we've got the men and not the boys, because this is not food for babies. This is solid food. It takes chewing, it takes digesting, and if you don't have your digestive system in order, you'll probably end up with indigestion. Now, I have to assume that you are in some measure familiar with the story of Job. Otherwise, you're going to find it difficult to keep up. I have warned the people that I could warn that we're going to deal with Job, and I suggested that they read the book through. I'm sure some of you found that a bit tough, but you're probably cutting your teeth. Very simply, the outline of the book is, there was a man of outstanding righteousness. He was the most righteous man on earth in his day, and his name was Job. He was also very wealthy, very prosperous. And that encourages me to know it is possible to be righteous and rich. A lot of people think it isn't, but Job was. And then there was a dialogue in heaven between God and Satan. We'll read the little part about it later. And God pointed Job out to Satan and said, "Have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man? And there's no one like him in the earth." And Satan was very cynical. He said, "No wonder. You do everything for him. You protect him. You provide for him. He prospers. You just take away everything he has and see how he'll react." And amazingly, God said, "Okay, you can take everything he has, but don't take his life." And a series of absolutely unnatural disasters hit Job and his family. All his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, were killed in a single accident. And all his wealth was taken from him. Fire fell from heaven and consumed his camels. I mean, it was an amazing series of disasters. And behind that was who? Satan, that's right. We'll go into that a little bit. So Job has this series of disasters, and Satan turns up again in heaven. And God says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? You moved me to smite him without cause, for no reason, and he hasn't turned against me. He's submitted himself to me." And Satan, that old cynic, said, "Well, no wonder, but you just touch his body. He'll give anything for the sake of health, but you just touch his body and see what happens to him." So the Lord said to Satan, "You can touch him, but don't take his life." And Satan went out, and the Bible says he smote Job with boils from head to foot. So that's another indication of what Satan can do. Some people don't like this truth, but it's there. So there is Job sitting on the ash heap, having lost everything, with a potsherd scraping the pus off his boils, and his three, quote, friends. And I think sometimes what people say, with friends like that, we don't need enemies. And they turn up and they're going to, quote, comfort him. And for 7 days, they just sit around. Nobody says anything. And then they start in on Job. And we'll go through the outline of what they say and the outline of Job's response. But let me just for a moment go back and go to chapter 42, verses 7 and 8, which is the door that God opened for me to try to find the meaning of this book. I want to tell you very clearly that there are lots of things in Job I still don't understand. But I think it gave me a way to begin to unravel some of the mysteries. So here at the end of the book, Job has said his piece, his three friends have said his piece, a young man named Elihu has said his piece, and then God moved in and spoke directly to Job for three or four chapters. And we'll see how Job responded a little later. But now, this is what I want to come to. It was so, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, he was number one of the three friends, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends," that's Bildad and Zophar, "for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." You three men have said the wrong thing. Job has said the right thing. And then in the next verse, it's repeated. "Now therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls and seven rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Now the question that came to me is, so what did the friends say that God didn't accept, and why did God accept what Job said? Because Job said a lot of negative things about God. He actually said, "God has taken away my justice. He's not treating me right." And God didn't complain. He said, "Job has said the right thing." But these other friends who came out with a long list of religious platitudes said, "They have not spoken of me what is right." So this is the way I approach the book, to find out why God took exception to the words of the friends and why God accepted the words of Job. Because the normal religious person, such as you or me, would have reacted the opposite. We would have said what the friend said is right, and what Job said was awful. But God didn't react that way. So that's how we're going to look at it.
You know, as I listen to Derek, I realize that I've had seasons of suffering, and I've had friends just like Job had around me, and it's really marred me and caused me to approach suffering in the wrong way. Thank God for the word of the Lord, especially out of the book of Job, that's able to set us free. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the Scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm so glad that you're here. Derek Prince is teaching us from the book of Job. No, don't panic. It really is wonderful and powerful. In fact, we think it's so powerful that we've dug way deep into the archives to bring this teaching to you. The sound quality is not as good as it might be. You might even hear a crying baby in this segment, but the meat of the Word of God is so wonderful, we wanted to bring it to you. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us from the book of Job about why these horrible things sometimes happen to God's people.
Now, the first thing I want to deal with, which is kind of incidental in a way, but very important, is what does the book of Job reveal about Satan? And it reveals a lot of things that are important for us to know. Number one, it reveals that Satan can take his place amongst the angels of God. This is stated twice, in chapter 1, verse 6, and in chapter 2, verse 1. We'll turn there. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, that's the angels, I can't take time to go into that, but I can show it to you from the texts. Now, there was a time when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." So if you want to know what Satan is doing, he's going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it and making all the trouble he can for everybody. 1 Peter says, "Our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." You need to know that. Satan has been turned loose. But he came into the presence of God with the angels. My opinion is that Satan came amongst the other angels looking just like them. And I think very probably the other angels didn't identify him. After all, there are 100 million angels, at least, because it says 10,000 times 10,000, which is 100 million, and that's not the ultimate figure. But amongst these 100 million, here was this beautiful, shining figure. And it doesn't seem that the other angels discerned anything about him. God said, "What are you doing here, Satan? How did you get in amongst this crowd?" So that's one important thing to remember. I don't know whether it's still true today. I don't know of any scriptural reason why it's changed. So that's point number one. Satan has some kind of access to the presence of God. And he can disguise himself as an angel of light. And there have been a number of examples in recent decades of people being deceived by beings who appeared as angels of light but were actually messengers of error. All right, point number two is that God took the initiative and pointed Job out. If you look in chapter 1, verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil.'" Now, you might feel honored if God would say that about you. But bear in mind that a lot goes with it. Because when the Lord pointed Job out to Satan, he made him Satan's number one target. So, don't be in a hurry to apply. Be sure you can take what goes with it. But what I want to point out to you now is God took the initiative. It wasn't Satan who said, "That man Job." It was God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And I think I have to say, reverently, God was proud of Job. Is that acceptable? So why don't we ask ourselves, is God proud of you and me? Is there anything in our lives to make God proud? The third point about Satan is, in relationship to God's people, Satan can only go as far as God permits. So let's look at some examples of that. Chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that Job has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. You can take all his property, but don't touch him." And Satan could not go one inch further than God permitted. Well, then Satan came back with this answer. Well, that's all right, but he's still got his body intact. So in chapter 2 and verse 6, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. You can do anything to his body, but you can't kill him." And in a few days, Satan came out with boils all over, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Now, boils are very painful. They're also very humiliating. Who caused the boils? Satan. So he has power, but he can go no further than God permits. Now, this has got an application, and it's this. If we are in some kind of spiritual struggle and we feel that Satan is oppressing us, and I frankly find myself in that situation pretty often, it's legitimate to resist Satan. The Bible says resist him and he'll flee from you. But if you go on resisting him and he doesn't flee, then the wise thing to do is stop and say, "God, what are you trying to teach me?" Because until you learn the lesson, God won't call Satan off. That's very, very important. Don't go on bombarding God with prayers that get you nowhere. Stop praying and ask God to teach you what he has for you to learn. Remember, Satan couldn't do it if God didn't permit it.
You know, thank God for the clarity on this issue of Satan and whether we're supposed to resist him or not. You know, some people teach that we're supposed to just roll over and take all suffering as though it's discipline from God. Well, if we do that in a passive way, we never know whether to resist Satan or not, and the Bible specifically says to resist him. The book of Job helps us to see this, and Derek's fine teaching here really empowers us. There's so much more good stuff like this to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When does a total surrender ensure a powerful victory? In his classic teaching, Grace of Yielding, Derek Prince explains, from the Scriptures, why God will abundantly bless you when you are willing to yield completely to Him. As you listen to this special audio CD, you'll discover how to please God in all you do, strengthen and mature your faith, and receive your inheritance as a child of God. As our way of saying thank you for listening to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, we want you to have a copy of Derek's inspiring audio CD, free and postage paid. To request your copy, call us toll free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the grace of yielding. Request your free copy now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Grace of Yielding securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm just fascinated with the series that we're in on why bad things happen to good people. And I think I'm even more fascinated with how much great theology Derek is breaking out of the book of Job. Most people avoid the book of Job like the plague, and Derek's teaching us great riches from this book. Let's listen now.
Now, within those limits, this passage reveals Satan has certain areas of power, which are important. He has power, to some extent, over human agents. He stirred up the Sabaeans and he stirred up the Chaldeans to raid all Job's flocks. They came because Satan stirred them up. I think it's not difficult for us to believe, most of us, that Satan still can stir people up, make them enemies. Secondly, and this is more perhaps surprising, Satan has a measure of power over the elements. Listen to what he can do. In chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, etc. Who was responsible for that fire that fell from heaven? Tell me. Satan, that's right. And remember, in the book of Revelation, it affirms again that there will be a false prophet, a servant of Satan, who will be able to call down fire from heaven. You better adjust your thinking. See, one problem with many charismatics is we automatically assume that if somebody can do something supernatural, he represents God. That is not necessarily true. And you are a candidate for deception if you accept any supernatural manifestation as automatically coming from God. That's very, very important. He also had power to inflict sickness. Because in the next chapter it says, when God gave him permission to attack Job's body, he went out and smote him with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Not all sickness is from Satan, but some sickness is directly from Satan. And sometimes, if you can deal with the satanic element in a sickness, there will be immediate healing. The final fact that I want to point out about Satan is that he attacks the character of God's servants. He is a cynic. He can always find some way to question the integrity of God's servants. And so you find him saying in chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? In other words, he guts all the good. Why shouldn't he fear you? Impugning Job's motives. And then in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to his face. You understand? Satan always has a way to impute the worst motives to God's servants. And this contains a warning, because there's a lot of that being said about the servants of God in America today. And some of it, unfortunately, is true. But let's not help Satan do his job. He's the accuser of the brethren. We don't have to do it. Is that right? Some of you need to repent because you've become accusers. And remember, when you're doing that, you're doing Satan's job. He doesn't need your help. Discontinue.
What amazing teaching this is. You know, I don't just mean to be constantly complimenting Derek, but what moves me is, like you, I'm sure, I constantly am crying out for maturity. I'm constantly crying out for the heavy meat of God's Word, the deep teachings of God's Word. And here Derek comes with this wonderful teaching. I mean, I have known that during my seasons of suffering, that the enemy not only was attacking me, but was actually stirring up my own friends or people around me to actually make it worse. And of course, I should have known. We see it there in the book of Job, and that becomes part of the total package of suffering, and how we have to discern what's going on and how the enemy is operating. This teaching really is a stepping stone to maturity. Because in our early days of our Christian life, you know, we see things in black and white, so to speak. We see things in terms of God and the devil. The intermixing of the two, God using the devil. George Whitfield actually said that the Lord plows with the devil's heifer, so to speak. In other words, that he actually allows the enemy to do some things to work in our lives. That's something that mature believers have to understand. That's something that brings us to a new level and has great practical application. So as you're listening to this, don't just listen to it as a theology that you know and you put up on the theological shelf in your mind, but take it as something that you apply. Begin looking at your life through the lens of this teaching. And listen, if you've missed any of it or if you want to review it, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org. Well, listen, there's so much more to come tomorrow, but that really is all the time we have now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, do indeed join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free audio CD copy of Grace of Yielding, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can find both of these resources online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.